It's the Charmed Ones. Mine is Piper.
Hey, what's up? It's me, back at it again. So, let's talk about why Bella Swan is a Mary Sue. And what I mean by Mary Sue is she's literally like the blandest character ever. Really nothing going on with Ms. Bella Swan. And what I mean by that is she only likes, you know, Emily Bronte. And she doesn't like music. She has almost no opinions. She has no relationships with anybody other than Edward and Alice. And it's just like, why is she like that? And yes, I understand that Stephenie Meyer wrote this book and wrote her this way because she's a Mormon and it wanted to leak into, and it leaked into the novel and everything. I get it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Doesn't mean I can't argue that it would have been better if she had done it a different way. And I understand that she wrote Bella that way so that everybody could, so that every girl reading it could think of themselves as Bella. Like, I get that. I understand. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Because for me, I don't want everybody to, every girl I know or every guy, every he, they, and them to look at me and be like, I want to be her. I don't want that. Y'all don't want to be me. I don't want to be me. But what I do want is I want them to look at me and be like, damn, I want to be her friend. I want to know her. I want to be in her life. I want to see how her brain works. That's the type of stuff I strive for. And that's the kind of thing I wish more authors strove for, because I don't think the goal should be, let me write a character that, yes, you want people to relate to your character, but there's a difference between relating to them and them being so bland and one-dimensional that you could just, I could just put my face over that character and call it a day. Because I want to read a book where the main character, she's so cool, she's so funny. Yes, I wish I were those things, but also I don't want to be her so much as I just want to know her. I want to be around her greatness. I want her to make my life light up from the power of her light. That's the type of thing I want. And that's the type of book Twilight could have been if Stephenie wasn't such a little bitch. Now, what I mean by that is you could have had Bella be anybody, do anything. Like, literally, she could have made Bella being a, she was a secret witch. And she, even though she learns that Edward is a vampire, she still can't trust him with her secret because it's her coven's life, it's her mom's life, it's whoever, you know, all that type of situation. Make it like, you're going supernatural, let's go supernatural, right? Instead of doing some stupid shape-shifting werewolves that aren't really werewolves. And then you're going to allude to the fact that there are real werewolves, but then we never see them, never hear of them again. And then half human, half vampires. Like, I don't... Why? You could have just done witches. You could have just done witches. Or she could have made Bella have some sibling, you know, throw in, like, oh, we're a big sibling. Oh, I have a sibling. Can I actually leave my sibling? Like, can I pretend to be dead and start this new life and leave my sibling that I've known my whole life? Because what if they have a really good relationship? What if they had a really bad one? I mean, think about that. Think about that. Or, did you know how many times I've thought about how cool it would have freaking been if the Vampire Diaries and Twilight were sort of like the same but different? Like, what if Bella was an original, but she took the cure, and then she went to go live a human life in Forks, you know, like Rebecca always wanted. But then shit happens. Michael's coming for them. Klaus comes back. She transforms back into the original bitch that she is. And then how is that going to go down? You know? Or what if Bella was already a vampire? I don't think that would have been as interesting. But, or you could have made, if we're going the Jesus route, Stephenie, you could have done it all the way. Like, you could have made Bella some Bible-toting freak who just wanted to talk about the Bible all day in and day out. And then we really get this book of her discovering she's in love with this boy. But oh shit, he is a creature from hell who has no soul, and how can I love him? How can he actually be a good guy? Where she has to like war with herself on, he is literally something that I'm not supposed to love, I'm not supposed to like, but here he freaking is, and I can't help myself. Like, why couldn't it have been something like that? Or I would have just loved to have seen her have more relationships with girls her age. Like, I watched this movie recently called Unpregnant on HBO Max. That was such a really funny movie. Like, if you are needing something funny to watch, check it out. But the premise basically is this girl, she needs an abortion. She has to go all the way across country to go get it because she's underage, and she takes her childhood best friend to go with her, and they have a crazy road trip ensues. So I think it would have been funny if it was like Angela or Jessica comes to Bella because they're just like, oh, I know you won't judge me, I know you'll help me because you're such a nice person, I can't go to anybody else with this, I need an abortion, I don't know where to go. And granted, I don't know much about Washington. That's where they live, right? Forks, Washington, that. I don't know a lot about that. I didn't do any research before I'm saying this. But let's say for argument's sake that there's no abortion clinic in Washington that will let you get an abortion without parent approval, which was the issue in the movie, but they were in Missouri. But I know for a fact California is right down there, I think. I flunked AP geometry. Not geometry, geography. Geography. I flunked geography, so forgive me if that's not correct. But I think those are both on the same sides of the country. I think. The map where California looks like that and then up. Yeah, okay, whatever. So they could have taken a crazy ass road trip, because I know for damn sure they would go on this road trip. Bella would send some casual, not really saying anything text message to Edward, and this boy would have freaked the fuck out. And you cannot convince me that he does not already have a tracking device on her cell phone. I can't be convinced otherwise. So you cannot tell me that he would not then track her, find them wherever they were with his vampire speed, and then continually not telling her, and then just stalk them on the entire way, and then literally foil every single bad thing that was about to happen on the road trip to make it really fun. You cannot tell me that that Edward stalker man that Edward Cullen is would not have done that. You cannot tell me he would not have done that. And then you cannot tell me Bella would not have kicked up on it, because he would have texted her some thinking he was trying to be slick, because men think they're slick, but they're not. He would text her something about, oh, you know, I would be careful when you make turns like that. And she would just be like, how did you see me? Where are you? Where are you right now? And then a whole thing would ensue of, why are you following me? Why can't I do anything by myself with my friend? Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada. And then you cannot tell me that those two girls, whoever it is, Bella and whoever it is, would not make it there and then have spent all their money. And then she's going to pull out her phone and call Edward anyway, because she can't call her dad, because she doesn't want him to know about that. Whoever the other girl is doesn't want her parents to know about that. So you definitely don't want the police chief knowing about it. So she's going to call Edward and she's going to be like, hey, can you come pick me up? Or, hey, you know, I really hate it when you give me money, but like in this point, like I really kind of need you to lend me some money. And then he could have just revealed himself anyway, you know, like wait out a couple hours and be like, oh, hey, I was already coming this way. Yo, I'm here to save you. And then Bella has this really awesome relationship with another girl in her life, where you see another side of her, another side of the other character. And then it rounds her out into a full person. And then you get a whole storyline with just her and somebody else, where we can really get to know and understand and actually like and enjoy Bella without, you know, the Cullens being there and they're majestic and they're amazing, without Charlie and his Charliness being there, you know, without all of that, where we can just focus on Bella and her relationship with another girl and really explore that. And then added bonus, if you went with a story like this in any type of way, then she could go home and really have like a heart-to-heart with Rosalie about it, because you cannot convince me that Rosalie would not be pro-choice. Not pro-choice. Pro-life. Rosalie was definitely a pro-lifer. definitely, just you cannot convince me otherwise. So Bella would come home from having this abortion adventure. Rosalie would look at her and like hate her even more. And then you get this moment where Bella has to basically defend not herself but her friend on why she deserves the freedom to make the choice that she made for herself. And I think then we could have really gotten that whole, oh, I don't like you because of my own issues conversation with Bella and Rosalie a lot earlier than Eclipse. And then even that would have fleshed out Rosalie even more, because then she would be forced to give a real reason of, one, why she hates Bella so much, and two, why her not being able to have something means that other people should be forced into doing it. Like, everybody would have to take a really hard look at themselves in a way that I don't think they do in the original material. Or another thing they could have done is they could have made Bella like some secret artist prodigy genius. Like, she could, what if she had walked in there that day when Edward took her to meet his family for the first time, where she was like, oh, you play piano to Esme? What if that bitch had sat down and flawlessly started to play Beethoven? Like, can you just imagine how Edward would have just fallen out of his chair? Like, literally a vampire would have just fallen out of his chair. Because it's just like, oh, look, here's this girl that I'm already falling in love with. She can play beautifully just as much as I do. And then they could have both sat at the piano and then just played together. Because, I mean, what do they really have in common? Like, what can you think of that they really have in common other than they like old literature? Like, I really can't think of very much. But if she'd been able to play the piano, they could have bonded over that. Or if she'd been able to play any other instrument, then they could have written songs together. Or if she could have sang, she could have wrote lyrics to the lullaby he wrote her, and then they could have like done this whole performing thing, and then the Cullen house would never not have music in it. Like, does this sound any better to anybody else, or is it just me? Because you could have even made Bella this feminist hardcore bitch. She's, as soon as she turned 18, she's gonna go get a tattoo. Renee already let her get a tattoo. She has piercing. She dyes her hair crazy colors. She wants to go to the women's march. You know, she could have been that person too. And then we could have really seen Edward, you know, fight with his 1920s ideals of, oh, I have to be, you know, the man in the relationship. I have to make the money. Oh, I have to take care of you. I have to do this. If he was faced with a woman who was like, no, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do this for me, and you're going to get the fuck out of my way. What would he have done? Like, what would that man have done? I can't tell you because I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. Or something else I would have really have loved to see is really to see Bella, you know, grapple with her humanity and what it would mean to leave it. Because during the whole novel, all we get from her is, you know, I never felt like I fit in, but I fit in with you. And then when she's a vampire, she's like, I finally found my place that I fit. And I'm like, okay, that's great and all, but you never see her spare really longer than a second on, she's gonna have to watch her dad die and grow old, and she's gonna be young forever. She's gonna watch her mom and Phil die, and all of her friends and everyone she's ever met grow old and die. Like, you never see her really process this. And then when she has to start to, and Breaking Dawn, because she's lying to Charlie about being sick because she's pregnant and everything, she's breaking down. She's like not handling it well. But like, let's say, for argument's sake, let's say one of her grandparents was still alive on either side. And then when she met Edward, or during one of the lengths of the four books, one of those grandparents died. I mean, first of all, then you are allowed to have Edward be the little comforting teddy bear of a man you know he wants to be. He could have held her while she cried about it. But then you could, like, we would get them going to a funeral together, which is really sad, but, you know, things happen. We could get her telling Edward old stories of when she was a little kid, like really get it. And then her, like, talking about how Renee hated being in Forks and how Charlie never left because whatever the reason was, I think it was because he had to take care of his parents. Talking about how Charlie never left Forks and how she doesn't want to be here until the day that she dies. And because the one thing that she never seems to really like vocalize, which is the thing I would have done if I were her, is she's been in like two places her whole life, right? Or no. I know she traveled around a lot with Renee. But Charlie's never left Forks. So she would be faced, if she just lost her grandparents, she's looking at her dad who's never gone anywhere, never done anything, never seen anything because he just stayed in the place that he'd always been. Like, I would have loved to have had a scene where she turns to Edward and she's just like, I can't die here. I can't stay here until I die and have never seen anything, done anything, because Edward is the man that could literally get her on a plane that same day and go around the world like it's no big deal. He's literally the man who wants to offer her the whole entire world, but she doesn't even seem to take a minute to consider it. It's not a thing that Bella Swan wants to do. She doesn't want to travel. She doesn't want to see anything. And I'm just like, the whole novel and her whole character is so revolved around Edward that it's just like, I find myself not even caring about her in the slightest. Like, I don't care about her even a little bit. But she's my main character. You know, Edward is not my main character. Bella Swan is my main character, and I should like her a lot more than I do. And I don't like her because Stephenie Meyer did not write in enough for me to like about her. Like, there's so many different things and ways and scenarios and little skills and little quirks you could have added into this character to just round her out. You know, like, because your main character, I should fall in love with the main character before I fall in love with the love interest, or before I fall in love with this villain that I'm not supposed to like, but me as a reader just can't help but love them. Or before I fall in love with their father figure, their mother figure, their siblings, whatever favorite character I have, I should either love or hate my main character first because they are my main character. They are the eyes that I'm seeing this world through. And if you write a main character that is just so, can't even think of a word, but it's just like so middle ground that I don't love her, but I don't hate her. I'm just indifferent. You should not have a writer be indifferent to your main character because your main character drives the story. Your main character is the story. So I just keep thinking over and over and over how much better the whole series as a whole could have been if you had just made Bella a singer. You know, just make her very either vocally churchy or very vocally not churchy. She's so in the middle and wishy-washy about just about everything that I can't even tell you anything about what any of her opinions are. You know, you could have made her a secret love child that Charlie adopted, but her real father is some billionaire that comes back and wants to, you know, bring her into the fold and make her his heir for his big Fortune 500 company. Like, you could have done anything. You could have done anything. You could have made this girl have the ambition to literally go into the military. And then she meets Edward. She kind of changes her idea of life, but she's so stuck in this idea of, you know, country and you have to serve your country, and I love my country, and I have to do this. Or what if she really wanted to be a cop, you know, following Charlie's footsteps because she wanted to do right in the world. She wanted to catch criminals. She wanted to make sure justice prevailed, you know, and then have her struggle with the thing that she has always wanted in life, the thing that she thinks is gonna make her happy, versus this man in this whole new life, an option that loving him is giving her. And then, you know, in New Moon, when he left, instead of her just going down a downward spiral, and basically leading on Jacob for forever, you could have had her rediscover some things. And then when Edward comes back, they could have sat down and had a real conversation about, well, I just rediscovered this passion. I love this so much. And I love you. But I don't know if I'm prepared to give this thing that I love up anymore. Because season one of The Vampire Diaries, you remember, Elena straight up told Stefan, she was like, I don't know if I can choose you. Because I don't know if I can be a vampire, because I want to have kids. I want to grow old. I want to do this and live these human lives. And yes, that ended up all going down the shitter. But then it came back. It came back. But that was, I think, a really great moment. And that it visualizes that there's a lot of things about the human life that would not be so easily given up. And Edward, for his part, tries to tell Bella this all the time. In the movie and in the books, but I just think it would have been so much better to have a main character who knows herself well enough to be like, hey, I don't know if I'm willing to give up these things for just you. Like, can I still do this if I go with you, if I become what you are, if we embark on this, can I still live my passions, you know, can I still have the things that I want and the things that I think that I need if we live this life that we could live together? But, you know, that never happens, and we're stuck with the filler main character that is Bella Swan, and we're not gonna get New Moon from Edward's point of view, and I'm very sad about it. And then she's writing at minimum two more books about Jacob and Renesmee, and I'm going to throw up in my mouth when I have to read about that. Excuse me. It's just like, when is all these books going to hit public domain so that somebody else can just pick them up, rewrite them, and make them into the absolute masterpiece that they definitely have the potential for? Like, there's so much potential here, and there's such good groundwork. Like, Stephanie, I'm begging you, please rewrite the series and just make Bella better. Just make her better. Just make her better, please. I think that's all that I have to entertain you with today. I hope it was good for you. It was good for me. But I will see you guys again next time. Bye. I'm a witch, you're a witch, we're all witches together.